good evening to everyone. My name is Jeremy Moore, and I'd like to officially welcome everyone tonight's Prepaid Legal More Success Team conference call. We've got an absolutely fantastic speaker lined up and trainers lined up for you guys tonight. I know I'm flat out fired up to hear from this gentleman, but to get things kicked off, I'm going to go straight out to Durant, Oklahoma, to Platinum 2 Executive Director, Millionaire Club member, six-figure income earner. But most importantly, he's my dad, and that's Mr. Randy Moore. Dad, are you there?
I am, Jeremy. It was a pleasure being with you and Mr. Kenmore in Dallas last week. We did some filming for a new episode that Prepaid is putting on for Fox Business News, and we had a great time. But, you know, Jeremy, one of the main reasons that I got into Prepaid Legals was for residual income, and I was always called it, you know, like a one-time effort but a lifetime of pay. It's one thing to have a six-figure income, but altogether different when you can build up a six-figure retirement. Of course, Mr. Moore can tell you that many, many times over. So to begin tonight's call, I want to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, to an executive director on our More Success team that last year not only had the number one producer, Mr. Jimmy Parrish from Alabama, but he also had the number one top recruiter on our More Success team, Ms. Cheryl Ann DeGatta from Georgia, on his team. And he has a short testimonial on residual income that he wants to share with everyone tonight, and that's none other than Mr. Dwayne Bourne. Mr. Bourne, are you on the call? Mr. Dwayne Bourne, did we get you on? I heard him on earlier. If you've muted yourself out, you'll have to mute yourself back in, Mr. Bourne.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, Mr. Bourne. Go right ahead. I know you've got a great story on in fact, you were at the group school in Ada, Oklahoma, and Mr. Moore had you share that with this group school that was going on, and he said it was such a great testimony, he wanted you to share that with our entire team tonight.
You know, Randy Harlan was speaking about that today, and he really thanks a lot of Dwayne. He said, man, get that guy on your call. We've got to use him on a special call here quick because he's an amazing story, and Dwayne, we're happy, very pleased to have you.
Did we lose you, Mr. Moore?
Yeah.
Go, yes, I can. Go right ahead.
You want me to tell me my story now?
Yes, we've got a little background noise. I don't know. Are you on the speaker code tonight, Mr. Bourne? If we have some people that are accidentally on the speaker code, if you'll hit star 6 on your phone, you'll be able to mute yourself out. Maybe we'll be able to hear Mr. Bourne's talk. Do we have you on now, Mr. Bourne?
Okay. Several years ago, I started doing Prepaid Legal part time. And when we come to the crossroads in life,
Jeremy, do we still have you on? Or Mr. Moore?
Dad, I believe he's in the listen mode.
Okay.
So you're going to have to unmute the line so we can hear him.
Mr. Bourne, I think you're on the listen mode. Are you not on the speaker code tonight?
Can you hear me?
I don't think you're going to be able to hear you if you're not on the speaker line. All right, I guess we're going to have to catch that. I'll try to get hold of Mr. Bourne if I can't get him on towards the end of the call on a different line. I guess he's not on the speaker line. But to introduce our special guest speaker, I want to go to Ada, Oklahoma, to an original Millionaire Club member. He's beginning his 28th year with Prepaid Legal. Of course, he's the Executive Vice President of Prepaid Legal and leader of your More Success team. That's Mr. Ken Moore. Are you on, Mr. Moore?
Can you hear me, Randy?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I muted myself out there. I didn't want to. But I tell you what, Randy, this next figure is going to be absolutely great. He was recently in Tulsa, and I had nothing that night, the next day, just today, but great reviews on what he did over there in Tulsa. They said, man, get him on the call. We want to hear him again. Speak to Mr. Stonecipher about him today. And Mr. Stonecipher thinks very, very highly of him, and we was talking about it. So it's going to be my honor tonight, Randy, to introduce a Millionaire Club member, $100,000 ring earner, platinum director, and a good team member, a good team player, Mr. David Hall.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm kind of bummed out. I was hoping to hear that last guy that we were trying to get on the call.
He's got a great testimony, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. I absolutely love the stories about residual income. I'm like y'all. Man, I got in to make a little bit of extra money, but after hanging around for a while, I found out more about that residual income, and, you know, that's what keeps me...
He is one of the guys that wanted me to get you on the call. Randy, I'm going to get off and try to get a hold of him to try to get him on the right line. I'll get right back on, okay?
Well, Mr. Moore, did you want me to go ahead and talk, or are we going to wait for, see if we can have your dad get that guy back on?
Take it away. This is Jeremy. It's all
okay.
The call is all you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, hey, I appreciate the invitation to be on this call. I mean, the Moore family is such an icon in prepaid legal, and I know this is such a huge family with the Moore Success team, and you know, a lot of times people say, man, I wouldn't be in the business if it wasn't for, you know, Ken Moore, Randy Moore, Jeremy Moore, or something like that. But when I say it, I mean it literally. Almost like I wouldn't be born if it wasn't for my mother. It's more than just them recruiting someone who recruited me. It literally is a situation where if the Moores didn't go to bat for me early on in this business, I wouldn't be here today. And my story is really from humble beginnings. I never graduated from high school. I don't have a GED. About the age of 16, my father was diagnosed with cancer, and he spent the next few years in and out of the hospitals going through radiation and chemotherapy and surgeries to save his life. And during that time, there was no income coming into our home. My parents had always taught me to go to school, get good grades, get a good resume, and go out and get a good job. And my father was a very educated man, had 2 degrees from major universities, even an engineering degree. And as a kid, we lived a middle-class lifestyle. I was one of 9 children. I was one of the oldest ones at home. And when he had his bouts with cancer, he was in the VA hospital for a few years. And the cars were repossessed in the middle of the night. Sheriff's Department showed up at our house and informed us that our house had been sold at a public auction, that we needed to vacate the premises. We were now technically trespassing on the bank property, and I wanted to stay in school. I thought that would be a good thing to graduate with my class and move on to go to college and everything, but there was something a little bit more important at that phase of my life, and that was just survival. So I left school to go get a job to meet some of the family's financial needs. And what I found out was when you don't have a high school diploma or a GED, you get minimum wage or pretty close to it. And that's where I stayed for many years, just trading time for money. And I remember going to job interviews and filling out that application and getting to that question where it said, circle the highest level of education completed. And I remember sitting there looking at that high school thinking, will they really check if I circle this or not? Are they really going to call my school and double check? You know, honestly, I can only circle the 10, but man, I'd get more money if I could say I was a high school graduate. And, you know, I'm like, nah, I don't want to take the chance of, you know, them checking and seeing that I was dishonest in my application. So, you know, here I am, you know, working manual labor jobs, and, you know, at the age of 21, I'm still making $4.25 an hour working at Jiffy Lube, courtesy tech. I'm the guy that checks the air pressure in your tires and vacuums your car mats. And my friends who had stayed in high school were now, some of them graduating from college and pursuing prestigious career opportunities in their life, and sometimes coming into Jiffy Lube with BMWs, Lexuses and, you know, Mercedes-Benz. And, you know, I'm just looking at these cars going, oh, my gosh. You know, I'd have to work for years to be able to buy a car. And I'd have to save up 100% of my income for years to be able to buy a car like this. And, you know, that's kind of where it hit me, that there was a huge gap that was getting bigger every day between the income I made and the income that these guys were making. And that's when I realized I needed to do something different. I needed to make more money in my life. And so I started working, looking for ways to make extra money. And the only thing I knew how to do to make more money was to get a second job. And so I found a pizza delivery place that allowed me to deliver pizzas in the evening. And so I'd work all day long at Jiffy Lube and run home, shower, change, try to get that oil smell off of me and go deliver pizzas until, you know, midnight to 1 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, back at Jiffy Lube, 8 o'clock in the morning, work there till 6 and deliver pizzas till 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm just doing this cycle sometimes 6 days a week. I'm making more money than I ever made in my life. But my quality of life was absolutely horrible. I honestly felt like I was only alive to pay bills. I mean, I'd get my paychecks, and they were spent the next day by mailing off all the money that I owed. And somehow, I met an incredible woman who agreed to marry me on that lifestyle. And, you know, I always joke with people and say, well, one thing I know for sure, she didn't marry me for the money. And the only logical conclusion would be it had to be the looks. So, anyhow... That's my own personal joke. Thanks for laughing, all of you out there. And anyhow, we ended up starting our lives together. And, man, next thing you know, kids are on the way. And that rat wheel that I was running on, stressed out, trying to pay bills, trying to just keep alive, all of a sudden got faster. And I didn't think it could get any faster. And now all of a sudden I'm buying things I never thought I'd have to buy in my life, like, you know, baby formula and diapers and butt paste and all this stuff that you go, oh, my gosh, you know, I don't make enough money to be buying this stuff. And, man, that's when we were introduced to the home-based business industry. Was approached by a friend about a health and wellness company. We liked the products. We liked the concepts. We liked the thought of making extra money. So we got involved with that company. We got on what they call their auto ship program, and fairly soon after that, our pantries were full of their stuff. Next thing you know, we're stacking the monthly supply in the garage, parking the car on the curb because now we're garage qualified, and we were passionate about the vision. We were passionate about the business model. We liked the products. We couldn't make money pushing them out to other people. And we had to cancel that after 2 years because we were losing money. And we were introduced to the telecommunications industry at that point. We started switching people from their long distance to this company. And, man, it kind of felt like a revolving door there because, you know, we'd work really hard to sign someone up, and then AT&T would mail them a check. And it basically said, hey, if you cash this check, you agree to come back. And, you know, it's hard to compete with a company that can just mail out $100 bills to everybody. So, you know, we lost money in that company, too. And then we were involved in a startup company. And this is, you know, the guy showing us this convinced us that, man, if you're going to make money in network marketing, you have to get in a ground floor opportunity. And if anyone ever approaches you about ground floor opportunity, just run. Just run the other way. Because what they're really saying is there is no opportunity and it ain't going to get off the ground floor. That company lasted a few weeks, and then they were out of business. And then here we are in the mid-1990s. Someone showed up, told me about the Internet. The Internet was now going to change home-based businesses. You know, no more going to meetings and no more having to go pitch friends, family, relatives. All you need today is your own Internet mall. And they showed me the Internet for the very first time. They had one of those dial-up modems that was pinging and chirping and chinging. And next thing you know, here's their mall. And they had probably three pages, maybe two dozen products. not very many at all, but I could see the future of online shopping. But they convinced me that as soon as they went public, they were going to put Walmart out of business. And I thought, man, I got to have a piece of this. This is my ticket out. I'm going to make it with this company. And they said, Mr. Hall, you can own your own piece of an internet mall for only $5,000. And I figured, wow. Me and my wife have one credit card. It's for emergency purposes only. And happens to have a $5,000 limit. And my wife ain't with me tonight. So all the stars in the heavens had kind of aligned in the right place. I flipped that card down, filled out that application, and went home excited to tell my wife we owned our own virtual mall. And that's a good way to find yourself on the couch for a few months, because she reminded me we don't have the internet at home, we don't have a computer, we can't shop at the mall you just bought. And took me over 3 years at 20-something percent interest to pay off that business venture. We never made a nickel in that company either. So after four complete failures in the home-based business industry, my wife made me raise my arm to the square and take an oath that we will never do another home-based business so long as we live, so help me God. And she took away my credit card. And that's where I was, back at work, trading time for money, paying off bad debts of business opportunities that had put us deeper in a hole. And November 29th, 1999, a lady knocked on our door, said, Dave, I've got something to show you. Take about 15 minutes. You may or may not be interested. I figured that's fair. I'll tell you no in about 15 minutes. But just to make sure that I didn't get weak in the knees and back out and cave in, I had my wife come sit down to watch it too, because I knew she was my iron clad excuse that we were not going to do another business opportunity no matter what. Out of respect for this person, we gave her 15 minutes. She put a videotape in a VCR and hit play. She sat down and shut up. Well, 15 minutes later, me and my wife are looking at each other, and my wife's like, this is awesome. Dave, we need this, and you should be selling this. And I was like, well, you know, I definitely thought that, but I'm a poor judge of business opportunities. I screwed up the last four, so I just wanted to make sure that somebody with a little bit better business mindset saw the same thing I just saw. So we got started very part-time, 5 to 10 hours a week, just in the evenings and weekends around our full-time job. But within a few months, our 5 to 10 hours a week was paying us more than my 60-hour week jobs was paying us, so we transitioned and went full-time at prepaid legal at that point. After our second year in the business, it was paying us a six-figure income. Hasn't paid us less than six figures, for the last 9 years. Today, life is definitely different than it was, just a few short years ago when that lady knocked on our door and showed us that information. Today we live in a very comfortable 8-bedroom home, 4-car garage, 2 kitchens, home office, home theater room, basketball courts, tennis courts, putting greens in the backyard, 7 acres of horse property to ride around on the toys. And, minus our mortgage, we don't owe a penny to anybody. Today we do everything cash, don't need to worry about having a credit card. We get to hang out with our friends and family members. And, wow, you know, we're here in the morning to take the kids, you know, to school. I'm carpool dad 2 days a week. And I'm here at 12:15 in the afternoon to pick up my son from kindergarten. And here at 2:30 when the other kids get home from school to help them out with homework. And, yeah, you know, in the evenings I do go out, a couple hours, 2 nights a week for, you know, some briefings, PBRs, trainings, things like that. But that's a far different cry than working two jobs 12 to 16 hours a day just to try to stay broke, you know. And when I go out to a business briefing, I love it. I love the social atmosphere. I love going and hanging out with my new business partners, my friends, people that I'm trying to help them retire too. I mean, that man, that's a different lifestyle than going to one of them JOBs that you got to pit in your stomach on Monday morning because you know you got to go back to that, you know, cage that they got you in or something. So, you know, there are still days today that I gotta roll over in bed and just pinch myself and say, man, you know, how did a guy without a high school diploma find a company that not only pays him a great six-figure income, but as Mr. Moore mentioned earlier on the call, residual income on the back end. You know, today when I pull up the reports and look and see what the residual income, I mean, it's seldom less than $3,000 a week and, you know, upwards of $5,000 to even $6,000 a week in residual income for old work, stuff that was done years ago is still on the books today. And being able to, you know, work once and get paid forever for that, man, you know, I look at that and say, how many Americans are even offered a chance at residual income in their entire life? Very, very, very few. So for those of us that are on this call, I mean, we have the opportunity. We have the goose that can lay the golden egg. It does take some work. It's not a get-rich-quick thing. You know, I went out and worked very, very hard. And, you know, there were a few obstacles along the way that, you know, darn near knocked me out of the business. And, you know, thankfully, because of a great wife and great family and friends like the Moores, I'm still in the business today. And more committed than ever before. The future couldn't be brighter. You know, as people talk about the doom and gloom in the economy and the real estate market and everything else out there that's, you know, in the toilet, I think, man, I don't live in that world. I don't marinate in that vibe. I'm optimistic about the next 5 to 10 years. That's going to be some of the best years this company ever saw as we grow through a critical mass phase and prepaid legal product becomes as common as bread and butter on the kitchen table. So, you know, with that, Mr. Moore, I'll be happy to hang around and answer any questions or tell jokes if you want tonight. But in a nutshell, that's my story.
Great story, David, great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I heard it before, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, I had a very lengthy meeting with Mr. Stonesifer today. He's recently met with Wilbur and myself about some things that's been going on, and we had a good talk. Wilbur and I are going to be sitting on maybe a little board here to try to square things away. But good times and bad times in prepaid. The bad times is better than the good times I used to have. I'll tell you for sure. I know one thing. If you stay with prepaid like you have and like you're going to year after year and day after day, sure, there'll be some things you don't like along the way. But, you know, I've been married 55 years and 2 weeks today, and there's been things I didn't like. There's been things my wife didn't like. But we stuck the course because we loved each other and we knew we were better with each other than we were without each other. And I think that's the way of prepaid. And Dave Hall, your inspiration, I think this next guy is going to put a cap on just what you've been saying. I'm sure Randy might say, but from the bottom of my heart, Dave, thank you so very much.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Moore.
Mr. Hall, you have a great story to tell about your son and his name. Why don't you share that with everyone real quick?
Well, I'll tell you, I've my youngest son, he's now in kindergarten.
Wow, it's unbelievable, yeah.
You know, his birthday was just a couple of days ago, and so tonight me and my wife are putting together a big poster board with a collage of his life because he's taking treats to kindergarten and sharing with the class. But, you know, when he was born, we were new, you know, six-figure ring earners, and, you know, just this opportunity has been so incredible. I thought, you know, how can I ever say thank you to Mr. Stonesifer and have it really mean what I feel in my heart? And so when my last son was born, I told my wife, I said, I want to name him after Mr. Stonesifer. And, you know, as the relatives and friends were coming by the hospital or coming by the house when he was first born, we told him that, you know, he had the name Harland. And they looked at us like, Harland? What's that? you know, and no disrespect to Mr. Stonecipher, but I just said, well, he's the president of the company I work for. And they looked at me like I was crazy. They're like, well, what if you get fired? What if you get fired in a few years? You're going to have to live with that kid's name for the rest of your life, getting fired from that company. And I said, you don't understand. We don't fire anybody. Prepaid legal. Everybody's independent. And this man has changed our life. Me and my wife might have stopped having kids after one or two if it wasn't for Harlan Stonecipher. So literally, this kid would not be here if it wasn't for Harlan Stonecipher. And someday, when my kid's in college and they're studying in law school, Harlan Stonecipher and what an incredible man he was and how he changed the judicial system, my son will be able to tell those professors that he is named after that man, and his father was a good friend of that man. And I have a picture with Harlan Stonecipher holding Harlan Hall, and that picture is near and dear to my heart. So that's the story about little Harlan.
David, you might not know, but Harlan's son that got killed, Brent, his name was really Harlan also.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the one that got killed in the plane crash, he was. Just a little bit of information. Randy, I better hush because I get started and nobody else gets to speak. I apologize.
Well, Dave, I really do appreciate you being on the call tonight. You have such an inspirational story, and even when I put out the email, a true rags to riches type story, I meant that because, you know, you speak from your heart, and you do have an incredible story, and you don't mind sharing that, but it's just not talk. You know, you can put it, you can show everybody where you were and where you've come and what you're able to do with this company financially, and we're just so proud to have you on the team, and I know you're very, very busy, but we appreciate you sharing their testimony with everyone tonight.
Well, hey, thank you very much.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to try to go back to Tulsa, Oklahoma again. You know, at the beginning of the call, we were talking about residual income and the power of that, and we had a great testimony from one of our More Success Team associates. Dwayne Bourne, were you able to get on the call?
I got it this time.
Hey, I can hear you now. You were on the other line, but we've got you loud and clear, and I'm going to turn the call over to you. I know you've got a great story. Dad said he had you at the actually speak in the group school in Ada, Oklahoma this week, or last week, I guess it was, and you did an incredible job. And he sort of wanted you to share that story with everyone, if you don't mind.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and I'll fast forward to several years ago when Bill Haynes and Mike Wilhite showed up at my company at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I took out the service and then eventually became an associate. Worked at the business about 3 years part-time, and then I came to a crossroad in life. I had 25 employees, and it just kind of absorbed my time, my thoughts, and I stopped doing prepaid legal. And I fast forward to merging my accounts with a company out of Kansas in 2006, 2007, 2008, and 2009. My wife had breast cancer, and that was like a knock in the head. And she could tell in 2010 I was really, really unhappy with the merger I went through because they weren't coming across with what they said. And then she said in October, she said, were you happy doing prepaid legal? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, you know that they have paid us over $100,000 since you stopped doing it several years ago. And she emphasized you stopped doing it. And I said, really? How come I don't know that? She said, because you never look at the daily deposits. And I do. And I said, well, I'm going to revisit everything, and lo and behold, a man named Dave Hall comes to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I started going back to the meetings in November, just sitting in the audience, relearning, revisiting everything. He shows up December the 11th. There's 150, 200 people in the audience, and he has the audacity at the Super Saturday that he spent his time on that tell us to turn off the videos, turn off everything, don't take notes, you can't share, there's nobody. And I thought, boy, what arrogancy. I paid a whopping $12 to get to hear this man, and he don't want me to take notes. And at the end of the conference, I looked up, and I said, that's it? After hearing David's Hall story, I resigned from the company I was with. December the 22nd, went full-time with prepaid legal, January the 1st. And I have to say to Mr. Dave Hall, thank you for your story. And I got to tell you, Mr. Moore, Randy, everybody should be required to go through that training on Super Saturday. It should be a company requirement to hear his story word for word. Because when I turned around, I saw 150 people, 200 people bawling their eyes out along with me. And I got to say to Mr. Hall, thank you. I got to say thanks to Mr. Moore for being patient with me to come around. But we and Randy and Jeremy and how supportive they've been. And it's the most exciting time in my life. And the most of all, it's a great, great feeling not to have that chain and ball around your neck. And I thank you.
Well, Mr. Bourne, if someone was to come up to you and say, that prepaid legal thing, you can't ever get any residual income out of that, what would you tell them?
Well, I'd probably slap them.
They don't know what they're talking about, do they?
No, they don't. They don't. And, you know, I give a lot of credit because it's exactly, and the people need to know this. And there, if there's anything anybody could get off this call tonight besides what Mr. Hall said, Mr. Moore told me years ago, he said it's not who you know, it's who they know. And let me tell you who they know is. I knew Ray Singlin. He owned a business that I was in Atlanta. And he was a millionaire, and he made it off his stock and everything else. Wonderful man. He asked me to come to Mobile, Alabama. And the second person I met at his home in Mobile, Alabama, was this man named Don Bryan. Now, some people might not know Don Bryan, but that guy is connected. And he connected with Jimmy Parrish. And that organization took off while I was fiddling around and picking my nose. And if I would have made a right turn and went straight and stayed with prepaid, no telling what I'd be today. But you know what? It's kind of like Mr. Moore said, it's hindsight. Let's move on.
You know, probably you would have made another $1 million, Dwayne, don't you think?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You don't forget that girl, Cheryl Ann DeGatta. You got so many people on your team that's going to put you on over the top. But you owe me a cup of coffee, and I intend to collect.
Yes, sir. And you know what? It's just reviving some of the game, and it's just staying with the program, and that's what it takes. Just stay with the program. Just stay with the program.
Well, we appreciate you, Dwayne. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Bourne, it was great having you on. It was great having Mr. Dave Hall on. I think we had a great call tonight, Mr. Moore. And with that, I'm going to turn the call back over to you, sir.
Okay. Well, Randy, one thing we want to say that another one, in fact, one of Dave Hall's downlines, Mr. Herman Luette, is now the complete state of Oklahoma. He's the RVP over it. Great man, going to put Oklahoma back on the map with some help, and we intend to give him 110% of that help ourselves. But he's going to be our guest speaker next Monday night, and he's got a sort of a rags-to-riches type story too, Randy, and I think the people should hear that. He'll do a good job, and I just want to go ahead and say who was going to be there. I want to thank Dave Hall. I want to thank you and Jeremy and, of course, Dwayne Bourne. And I especially want to thank the people that's just getting started, that's taking their time tonight. Night, Randy, to be on the call. And, of course, we have other people. I heard Tony on there and probably Harold Benson, so many people that is on the team, been there a long time. We appreciate them. We want to keep putting God first, family second, and prepaid third. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you and good night.
Good night, everyone.